Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's around here somewhere. Somebody was coughing in the microphone. Did I hear that?
I heard that.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Lots to get to today. Nick Caserio did his end of season press conference.
Just keep asking good questions and don't ask dumb questions.
He talked about windows today and how their window is always open. After he once upon a time said he doesn't know what windows are.
He learned.
This dude is inconsistent with his words.
I agree.
I've learned.
Does that mean he'll draft for need this year?
I know, right? He did talk about needs, but he mentioned needs in free agency, so maybe that's different.
Shouldn't they select the best free agent available?
And I'm a BPA guy. I'm a BPA guy. I like best available, but I know what a need is. And so does he. He knows what a need is. I like Caserio, but he says some weird stuff from time to time.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is.
He does. It's where it's, you know, he's a robot, but sometimes it seems like he's malfunctioning a little bit.
Like, I think he's really smart. Like, I think I would really get along with him well if, you know, we were buds. You know what I mean?
You think so?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I think we're cut from the same cloth.
Okay.
I think we would get along.
I'm not sure.
Why?
About me and Nick.
Oh, you and Nick.
Yeah, I still know.
No, he probably wouldn't like you.
Probably not.
No, he probably wouldn't like
you. Probably wouldn't like my takes.
Yeah, but you know, like, do you get takey, though, with, like, your friends when you're hanging out?
No,
like, you're just kind of shooting, like, hey, what's going on, man? How's the family? Like, you don't get takey. Like, I don't get takey, like, around... Yeah, the house. I'm like, hey, sweetie, this Nick Caserio threw his team under the bus today.
He did.
Like, I don't do that. I save it for these 3 hours every single day. But yeah, he did kind of throw his team under the bus. We'll get to that a little bit. He had an update on Joe Mixon ish of an update on Joe Mixon. Also, I have this, I have a CJ Stroud hypothetical, not a rumor, not innuendo, not that I want to trade Stroud. I just have an interesting proposal. For you guys a little bit later to see if you would do. We'll get to all of that a little bit later. Rockets, though, we start there. They beat the Spurs last night. Great come from behind victory. It was rocket power in the fourth quarter. There was liftoff. Alpi Şengün pressed the liftoff button after their game with a new celebration. Did you notice that? Have you seen that?
I guess I missed that.
They have a new post-game celebration when they win at home.
Oh.
So the winning team, like, well, the Rockets. I mean, they're not going to do it for the Spurs. If the Rockets win, you know, they do the player interview with Vanessa right after the game.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, you know, what was your favorite moment of the game? What was your favorite play of the game? Oh, you're so great. And then, like, the conversation's over, and then the player will go to this pad that's got a button, like a red button.
Okay.
And they're like, Alpi Şengün, we got liftoff. And then he presses the button, and then, like, the smoke comes from the scoreboard. It looks kind of cool, but I think it's... pretty cheesy celebration.
It sounds pretty cheesy.
Pretty cheesy celebration, yeah.
But you know what? If the players are into it, then they're into it.
I don't think they are. I think Rahil and I talked about it. He's like, the kids like it. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably for the kids, which, you know, we do things for the kids. But they overcame, what was it, an 18-point deficit. They outscored the Spurs 29-14 in the fourth quarter. Just what the doctor ordered, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, Reed Shepard, man, last night, he was all over the place, offensively, defensively. They needed that win, and what they're down, was it 83-67 when there was the windmill dunk in timeout? And it was like, okay, this game's another blowout.
Uh-huh.
It's over. They're going to lose. They're going to get embarrassed. And they turned it on in the fourth quarter, and they played great. Kevin Durant guarding Victor Wembanyama was awesome. Like, look, you need size and athleticism to do it, and he did a great job. And I, way better than I ever would have anticipated in that matchup at this point. So it's... it was a great fourth quarter.
It was. It's a great fourth quarter. Reed played well, like you said. Knocked down a 4 threes. Had a good scoring game.
Nice block shot in there.
Had a block shot.
Yeah.
Picked somebody's pocket near midcourt.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. No, he played a good game. You hope to see more of this Reed Shepard than, you know, guy who's not playing ahead of J.D. Davison, you know? Davison, for a couple of games there, jumped him in the rotation. I think he was trying to put some fear in the heart of Reed Shepard because the bench is the greatest motivator in all of basketball, and it seems to be working. So that's nice. I'm glad that he had a good game. You know, hopefully that continues. Is he going to knock down 4 threes a game? Maybe if he takes 10 shots. If he takes 10 threes a game, I think he can knock down 4 threes a game.
I think so, too.
Like, this wasn't a crazy shooting night for Reed. Like, he wasn't 4 for 6 from three. Like, he got up volume. He took 10 shots. So, like, I always look at these games like, okay, well, this is, like, people Like, if he went 8 for 10 and just hit, like, went up for 35, people are like, this is the Reed Sheppard that they need. Okay, well, that Reed Sheppard you're getting once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen all the time. But I think that 4 for 10 from 3, 8 for 17 from the free throw or from the floor, I think that's something that could happen pretty regularly.
And I think, and you needed it, you got it when you needed it the most last night. When you're down big in the fourth, you need scoring. You need him to go out there and put the ball in the bucket. It felt like that's when he scored. It feels like he scored all of his points, honestly. He kind of felt like a nothing burger for the first three quarters. I'm not sure. I'm sure it doesn't exactly play out that way in the box score, but he was a fourth quarter player last night, and you need him in those moments when you're down. You need that shooter, and he was everything the Rockets could have asked for last night and what he's been. And you can just be consistent throughout the rest of the game. That'd be awesome, or but he's still so young. Like I feel like we hold him to this higher standard because of where the rest of the team is at. And Reed oftentimes falls below that. But last night, he was the perfect player for the Rockets.
Yeah, well, there's things I don't like in his game. I don't like him being forced to be the point guard. I do think that he's going to be taken advantage of in certain matchups. So what he becomes, I still struggle to see him as like a 30-minute a night guy that's starting every night and scoring 20 a game. Like, I see him more as almost like a six-man, like instant offense off the bench. When you need some offense, okay, let's see if Reed can carry us tonight or if Reed can get us back into the game. Let's see if he can get hot and lift us for a bit. Yeah, I don't really see him as, like, even a J.J. Redick type. I really don't see him as that. I think he's more of a six-man, seventh man off the bench when you need some offense. If he gives it to you, great. If he doesn't, you don't play him down the stretch.
Kind of like a Jamal Crawford?
Yeah,
in a way.
I mean, different styles.
Yeah, different
obviously.
Styles. But
like Crawford's a slasher, scorer. Reed's more of a shooter.
Yeah, but like if you can, I think look when guys are taken in the top three, I feel like there's this expectation they're going to be starters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't pan out that way a lot. When did Andrew Wiggins play his best basketball? When he was the sixth man off the bench for the Golden State Warriors, and he was the number one pick. Like at the time, Cavs fans would have said that's a disaster. But as his career evolved, Andrew Wiggins became a very good basketball player for that role. And that's what Reed Sheppard, I think, can be as well. I'm with you. Like, I don't think, it'd be nice if someone else besides Okogie was starting, maybe in your top five guys.
Yeah.
But as our sixth man off the bench, Reed can do that like he did last night.
I think we forget that Wiggins was pretty dang good early in his career. He's a rookie of the year. He was averaging 20 by year two and year three.
But he wasn't like the guy everyone wanted.
He wasn't like Kobe.
Yeah, which is what people thought he was going to be.
Yeah, but he was pretty good. Like, you're right. I mean, like Christian Laettner. Oh, he was a bust. Christian Laettner was like in the NBA for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, almost averaged a double double.
That's a great player.
Yeah. That's the one that always gets me. Like, oh, Laettner was a bust in college. Like, he wasn't Christian Laettner at Duke, but Christian Laettner, I mean, 13.7 rebound guy, was an all star once upon a time, 13 years in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, people kind of sleep on Christian Laettner's career a little bit.
If Reed gave you that career, sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying on that. But everybody kind of played pretty good. You mentioned Durant's defense. Jabari hit some clutch shots down the stretch again. Maybe it is Big Shot Barbie. Maybe it is Big Shot Barbie.
Maybe.
Shingun got his 20, got a double-double, 20 and 13. He did it efficiently, too. He only took 13 shots. Like, I still don't feel like he's clicking yet where he was, like, before the injury. So that's, but it was fine. I mean, he did well. Amin flirted with I guess 16, 10, and 6 isn't really flirting with a triple-double.
Yeah, I would not call it flirting.
But he filled the stat sheet a little bit. And then, you got Reed Sheppard off the bench 21. That was nice. Tari Eason came back. That was nice. I guess the bad news here is that Steven Adams has this grade 3 ankle sprain where he's going to be out a long while, perhaps.
And that's, a couple weeks probably?
At least?
In months?
Grade 3? Yeah, I mean, I think that's like an 8-week injury.
Yikes. That's not good. I mean, and Capella, I thought he was serviceable for the 12 minutes he played.
Yeah, he's looking. He's fine. He's
like that's the best way I can put it. Like he's serviceable in this role. I liked the double big that they were running with Adams.
8 to 12 weeks.
Now you don't have that. Gosh, I didn't realize. That's mean.
A grade 3 ankle sprain, a complete ligament tear, requires a significant recovery. Typically 8 to 12 weeks for initial healing and comfortable walking.
Yikes!
With a full return to sports and demanding activities potentially taking 3 to 6 months or longer.
Yikes!
Like I think there is. It might be a coin flip if we see him again this year.
Yeah, especially at his age. Too.
Especially his size.
Yeah, his size, his age. Like, how long does it take him to get back? That sucks. I didn't realize it was going to be that long.
Grade 3, significant.
I always forget how the grading system goes.
Yeah.
I feel like, grade 1 should be the worst sometimes, but,
Really?
I don't know. I feel like you go down, typically.
Hmm.
But, regardless, not having him is going to make things, I think, we're going to see a lot of experimenting for how they handle post Adams without him. Like, I don't think we're going to see a big jump in Clint Capela minutes.
I think we see what we saw yesterday. I think Alpe's your five. Clint Capela's going to spell you for a little bit. I think they're going to go small. Like, I think Jabari's capable of giving you some minutes at the five, which you need to rebound better. You need to rebound better if you're going to be a five. But you can go small. Like, Tari Eason's long. Dorian Finney-Smith is long. Amin is long. You can get by going small against some teams.
Now, when you mentioned the Jabari, like, just not being aggressive enough rebounding, I can't stop seeing it.
No. Yeah, people like roasted me. Oh, he's camped out in the corner. Well, he plays the four a lot. Just because he's the starting three and the normal starting five doesn't mean that he doesn't ever play the four.
Yeah, but there was a couple last night where he's in the corner.
He just chills.
And it kind of bounces his way.
And just chills.
And he doesn't really go get it.
No, he needs aggression.
Yeah, he's just kind of there on the court. But like you're going to need him to rebound better. Like that's what you're missing the most now with Adams out, mm-hmm. is your rebounding. And you need Tari, Jabari, I mean, Alpe, of course. Like, he gets his. To step up without it, because it's one of the Rockets' strengths that they've had since last year when they started rolling with this double big lineup. Like, that's where you're going to feel that miss and the defensive presence, obviously, as well. But I think you can make up for some of the defensive with what you're saying with, like, Tari and Jabari can play good enough defense. Amen can play good defense. Yeah. Alpe's no slouch.
And look, you still have size in case, like, the other team's big. Like, okay, well, Clint Capela can play 20 minutes that night. And then the next night, if you're playing a lineup where you don't have to play Capela as much, okay, well, he gets 5 minutes that night. And then, you know, Jabari and Tari and Amin can kind of fill the gap a little bit whenever Alpe is off the floor. And Alpe's going to play a good amount of minutes, too. NBA trade deadline is February 5th. Mm-hmm. With this Adams news, which, again, you know, we just told you how long he'll be on the shelf. Do the Rockets need to add a big man?
I would definitely explore it. I don't know if you have to do it at the deadline, just because the buyout market, you know, like, it does feel like that's a good option for you. Like, we see a lot of good veteran players just get cut at the end of after the deadline. So you don't have to make an aggressive move. And I don't think you're making a move where you're trading a significant piece of anything to bring in an Adams replacement. If anything, it's maybe like the Adams trade you made originally, which was a low-level player. It was Victor Oladipo and, like, what, like, 3 second-round picks, I think it was?
Yeah.
Steven Adams, something like that. Like, if you can make a trade like that, okay, that's fine.
Adams was hurt at the time, though.
He was.
So, like, it lowered his trade value because he was hurt.
But, like, if you can call, like, Utah or some team that's way out of the playoffs and they have an extra big man that you like, then go get him.
Instead of a cheesy dad joke?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're gonna deliver it?
Like, if you're a center, you want to, you know, you want a guy who's Utah, not you short. Sorry. So I knew it was bad. I didn't want to say it. But, I mean, if we're looking for a point guard, maybe. But we're looking for a center, Joe. No, but I would say that the importance is still a point guard over a center.
Yes, like, I agree.
I don't think that you're in desperate need for a center. I think you can get by. Now, if you can get one on the cheap, okay, what's up? But it wouldn't be my priority. Yes, you're going to do your due diligence and kick all the tires around the NBA. But if they don't trade for a center, I'm not going to be like, those bums, they did nothing. They really hurt this franchise and chances. No, I really don't think so.
No, I think it's more if you're going to trade for a point guard, you're trying to see if that team also just has a center they want to throw in the deal for an extra second-round pick.
Yeah.
Like something they're just wanting to get rid of. And it could just be a player that can do the same amount of minutes and things as Capela. And just give you another option. It's more, for me, it's more now of a depth concern more than anything of just the what if Capela were to get hurt also. Then you're in a really challenging spot. So I think you need to add a center in some capacity, but you don't need to go out there and try to, you know, trade for a starter.
No.
Add for someone of Capela quality, and I think you're okay at the deadline.
Yeah, I don't think it's that high on the priority list, but if you can do it, great. Junkie says he'll be back in a month, Kiwis Hill Fest. Is that true? I didn't know that. I know kiwis are great for you. Did you know that? They have, like, more vitamin C than oranges.
Really?
Yeah, kiwis are phenomenal for you.
They taste good,
It's like one of the superfoods.
I like kiwis.
Do you eat the skin?
No.
Some people do.
That's weird.
Well, I think it's where, like, the nutrients are.
But it's fuzzy.
Well, yeah, you get by it. Ah. Like, I mean, there's healthy foods that you eat that you just have to deal with the texture.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You don't eat any food that you're uncomfortable with the texture of?
I don't really eat tomatoes.
Because of the texture?
I like, I'll eat, like, diced up tomatoes.
Yeah.
But, like, like a big tomato that's not diced up, I won't touch it. I don't like the texture.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Just don't know. It's a texture thing. Don't like it.
Like, it's a little soft in the middle?
I think that's why.
Really?
Yeah. Brian's laughing. Why are you laughing at me, Brian?
No, I'm with you.
Like, okay.
Tomatoes?
I'll eat a diced up tomato, but, like, if I got a burger, I don't want a sliced tomato.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like a warm tomato. So I don't like it on my burger because it gets a little warm.
You know, that might play into it. But, like, I've never
thought about the warm aspect of it.
Like, a fried green tomato is pretty solid.
I've never been, like, a BLT guy because I don't like tomatoes.
Same. Same.
Interesting. Same. I love tomatoes. I could eat tomatoes plain. I cut up a tomato.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, see, it's...
Cut up a tomato, put some salt on it. Ooh, baby.
No,
love me a tomato. I grew some tomatoes during COVID.
Really?
Yeah, I did some gardening during COVID.
And then you quit?
Yeah, I got busy. Okay. I had kids and, like, life interfered. Yeah, I couldn't keep up with
it. Kids can't do the gardening for you?
Nah. Eh. Okay. Maybe Megan might be getting close to that age.
Okay, yeah.
No, I love tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm not... It's just a texture thing. So, like, that's why I would never eat the skin on a kiwi.
Yeah, I would eat this. I have eaten the skin on the kiwi. I haven't had a kiwi in a while, though. I know the health benefits,
we keep them in the house pretty regularly.
Really?
Yeah, Joseph loves them, so.
I did get a pair yesterday. I got a pair of kiwis yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah, at the market.
Just a pair?
Just got a pair.
Okay.
Got a pair of kiwis. Came in my market bag. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Lots to get to today. Kiwis, tomatoes, a little soft in the middle now. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch. Be careful there, though. They are mean. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. YouTube at ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio on TikTok. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. And then on the Twitter, you can watch live there, ESPN Houston, the apps, the website, anywhere you please. He's Joe George Radio on the Twitter. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Jeremy and Joe, coming up next, let's get to the Casario presser. I want you to drink every time you hear him say, in the end. He says it so much. He says, in the end, as much as CJ Stroud says, you know. That's like his crutch. What did he say? Play that again? I didn't hear it.
That's not what I said.
What? That one's from the, I'm trying to remember when he said that.
Yeah, I don't even remember now. I pulled it. It's just something that's never really been easy to use.
That's not what I said. I remember him saying that. I think it was about a specific
coverage.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. All right, anyways, drink every time Nick Casario says in the end. I think he throws his team under the bus. Y'all be the judge. Also, some updates on Mixon. We'll get to that, too. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew...
It starts with
one. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
It is White Boy Wednesday with Jeremy and Joe, which is like three quarters of us. White Boy Wednesday.
More than that.
I was just talking about you and I.
Okay.
In the name, because you're 100%. I'm 50%.
Fair.
Three quarters.
Just in the net.
What do you mean?
You're not 50-50, are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
And I'm Mexican.
My mom's full-blown Mexican.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if full-blown is the white way to describe that.
The white way?
I actually said white, yeah.
You cannot be the judge on that.
I can't?
No. You have to preclude yourself from the conversation.
I feel like you say that about... never mind.
About what, Brian?
No, I'm
going to
let that one go.
Yeah, the Texans have White Boy Wednesday when they work out. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was in the article last week. You might have been gone. And Azir's like, yeah, we listen to a bunch of White Boy music in the gym on Wednesday. It's White Boy Wednesday.
Yeah, he didn't know what the song was, but he says, you know, it's that one that says, in the end, it doesn't even matter. Yeah. Yeah, he gets down to that one.
What's funny, though, is when Nick Casario was talking at his press conference today, he says in the end so much. And because the song was at the top of my mind based on that article last week, where Aziz is like, yeah, we hear that song in the end. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. Every single time that Casario said in the end, I would say it doesn't even matter. I said it at least two dozen times.
That's a lot.
It's White Boy Wednesday with Jeremy and Joe. So Brian's going to be playing his favorite songs. White Boy music is some rejoins.
This wasn't a reach for me.
100% Joe has to be tricked into eating vegetables. Do Joe and B-Mac's wives cut the crust off their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for them? Maybe cut them into triangles. Brian's wife pats him on the back because he's playing video games.
he watches. It's a participation.
You wonder why everyone thinks Joe and B-Mac are giant toddlers. I don't wonder that. It's not everything.
I just don't eat tomatoes.
Someone else sent us their Instagram. I'm not clicking on an Instagram link, my guy.
All right.
Sorry about it. Not doing it. Have you reached out to Cody's Toots to apologize to him for saying he was wrong for wanting Bryce Young over CJ? I really don't remember him having that take, and no, I haven't apologized.
Bryce Young was his guy. Yeah, I don't remember him. I don't think that – because he left before – didn't he leave before he was drafted?
No, I don't think so.
No? I think it was right after.
Was it right after? Okay.
No, because they ditched us for the draft so they could pretend like they were going to do work while they were there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Cody was big on Bryce Young. I do remember that.
Would you – if you had to make the call right now, Stroud or Bryce?
I'd still go Stroud.
I would, too.
I think his ceiling's higher.
Yeah,
I also like my quarterback being able to see over the offensive line still.
Yeah.
Feels like a valuable trait to have.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
It can't hurt.
To be tall.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what that feels like.
Same.
I wonder what it's like to see over an offensive line of 6'5" behemoths. All right, anyway, so I think Nick Caserio might have thrown his team under the bus. Here's the full Q&A. Jonathan Alexander from the Houston Chronicle, really good at what he does. He pressed Nick Caserio on if Nick Caserio did enough with this roster, especially on the offensive side.
Do you feel like you all did enough from a personnel-wise to help the offense grow in the way it needed to grow? Or do you think probably some of the unexpected injuries, like Joe Mixon's injury, probably stalled that?
I mean, I'm not really sure of the question. I'd say we had one of the best teams in the league. So, I mean, we went out there and competed with every team in the league that we played. So, I mean, I'm not sure like what the question is.
I can specify. You know, the offense, according to their statistics, didn't take a huge jump offensively. And I'm wondering.
The most important statistic is winning games. So that's what we're focused on.
100%, but you lost in the divisional round again. You ultimately want to get farther. Do you feel like you could have done more to get to that point? Or were there circumstances that you felt were out of control?
We had a good enough team to win any game we played. In the end, we didn't execute well enough.
Doesn't even matter.
You can't turn the ball over five times in a divisional playoff round. I mean, taking care of the football is the single most important stat correlated to winning. I mean, look it up. It's the truth. If you don't turn the ball over, you enhance your chances of winning. It's 85-90%. I mean, so that's the most important stat. Turnovers, taking care of the football, like, look around the league. So, in the end,
it doesn't even matter.
We had a good enough team to beat anybody. We played with every team in the league. There's more room in front of us. And in the end, if we execute better, we'll still be playing. I mean, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but that's the truth.
Okay, I don't disagree with them. Like, I mean, I agree. Like, if they take care of the football, they win. But to me, I hear that, and correct me if I'm wrong, 713-780-3776. I hear a defensive general manager that doesn't like the critique about the offensive side of the ball that he built. Like, you can say, well, you know, we turned it over too much. Yeah, you're right, you did. But who brought those players in? Mm-hmm. Who's responsible for the players that turned it over a lot? It's like playing chess and blaming the pawn for being in an improper spot, for being the reason you lost the match. Well, you brought the guy in. And look, I don't think he's wrong. Like, C.J. Stroud, you have to take care of the ball. You can't throw over four times in the half. Collectively as a team, you can't turn it over five times. But there are inefficiencies on this team. I mean, the offense was very mediocre. They were 13th, I think, in points scored. They were 18th in yards on offense. The offensive line, while better because they schemed around it, was, what, 30th in pass block win rate, 32nd in run block win rate. And if it wasn't that, it was flipped around, you know, whatever, 30 in pass, 32nd in run, 30th in run, 32nd in pass. I can't remember. But they were in the bottom three in both pass block and run block win rate. So there were inefficiencies on this team, and I get in the NFL, you're not going to be able to, you know, build this complete juggernaut of a team with the salary cap and all of that. I just thought he came across a bit defensive there, as like, there's nothing wrong with my roster. The players just turned it over.
No, because he wouldn't answer the question, and when he finally did, that's what he talked about. I think you're 100% right. And it's on Nick Caserio and the players. That they were, if you just look at just touchdowns in the red zone, they were fourth worst in the NFL in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone percentage wise. They scored on 45% of their red zone attempts. That's not good enough.
Uh-huh.
It's not good enough. And that's a GM issue because you couldn't run the ball on the 1 yard line. And I know that's not what played out in the playoff game, it was the turnovers in the playoff game. But Jonathan Alexander's question was about depth. About the season. It wasn't just about just losing that one football game. Yeah, he threw C.J. Stroud under the bus.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. He's right. Google AI search says it's 78.7% of your games you win if you do not turn the ball over. So it's a little bit lower than he thought it was. But
what did he say?
85-90.
Oh, okay.
But it's,
did he say not turn it over at all or win the turnover battle?
I think he said not turn it over at all.
Okay.
Yeah, he answered the question honestly eventually, but the question's correct. It's like he didn't do enough in the offseason.
Yeah, look, I also like my point isn't that he didn't do enough, really, because, again, I don't think you can fix everything in the NFL. You're going to have weaknesses in the NFL. It's a salary cap league. You can't be all pro at every single position. There's going to be spots that you're really good, and there's going to be spots where you're below average. It's just the nature of the business. Collectively, you want to be good on one side of the ball and, like, good on the other side of the ball. I get it. They were very average offensively. I just thought it was weird that the general manager of the team wasn't like, yeah, you know, we could do things. We could all do things to make this team better. I thought it was kind of sensitive, even, and very defensive of, well, this team is, we're one of the best teams in the league, and we can beat anybody.
Yep.
It's like, well, to me, it's like him kind of kicking the can down the road. To me, it's him kind of deflecting that he could be criticized at all. Like, how dare you criticize this roster? We're one of the best teams in the league, and the only reason that we lost is because we had a bunch of turnovers in this game, which, again, he's right. That's the only reason they lost that game. But maybe they get to the AFC Championship game against Denver. Maybe they don't have any turnovers, but they don't move the ball.
But if the offense is better throughout the season, maybe they're the one seed?
Right.
Even?
Like, yeah, perhaps.
It's not just a one-game thing. It's, you know, you lost 14-9 in week one. Like, you struggled all year long to have success on offense. So, like, it's, again, it's fair for him to point out the turnovers,
yeah,
but the criticism of his roster is totally fair.
And it's like he didn't want to hear the criticism, yeah, of the roster. How dare you? Like, he didn't say that, but I hear him, like, how dare you criticize his roster? We're one of the best teams in the NFL. Yeah, we win any game we can play.
He said wins are the most important stat, and they are.
Right.
They are in the regular season. But at some point...
Well, they are in the postseason, too.
Yes. But, like, at some point, like, those wins in the regular season, we also can tell that they're not totally real because they're not playing good teams all the time.
Well, they also didn't improve there.
Yeah, they never got any better.
And if you're just going, like, well, wins are the most important thing, okay, cool. But you didn't make a win improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's what, like, Jonathan Alexander was saying after the fact, too. He's like, well, you also plateaued again in the divisional round. So, like, where are you getting the winning thing? Like, that you stacked up a bunch of wins and you took 10 in a row into the postseason?
Like, and, like, that's good. Congratulations. But you didn't win when it mattered most. I was surprised to hear him that defensive.
They won 12 games in the regular season, two more than they won in each of the last 2 years. Maybe that's what he's citing, that we've won more games in the regular season. I thought it came across very defensive. 713-780-ESPN. And, again, like, he's right with what he's saying. My point is that I'm surprised that he said it. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that, especially Caserio, who's very, like, robotic, stoic, like, always, like, accountable, like, oh, like, even when it's not his fault, you know, we can do better. I'm here to help. I'm here to guide. I'm here to be, like, whatever the words, the big words that he says. Like, he's usually not this way. So I was surprised. Maybe the line of questioning offended him. Maybe he's defending Nick Haley, who he said, by the way, will be back. He said he expects him to be back.
Yeah, I think it was anticipates.
Anticipates him to be back.
Which... I guess that means it's D'Amico's call only?
I mean, to me, it's right? back, but they haven't made it official. Like, yeah. If the GM says, I anticipate the OC is back, it sounds like he's going to be back unless the OC doesn't want to be here and goes elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, to me, he's going to be back.
Yeah, it would be. Now I'd be shocked if he's not back.
I'm just surprised that Caserio to that question wasn't like, we can all do better in our roles and we hope to do better next year.
Because,
like, that's what I expected him to say.
Because you're right, that's typically how he answers it.
Yes.
Like, and that's how most GMs answer it. They
right.
say they throw we or I. Like, GMs a lot of times.
He did say we turned it over 5 times, but it's like, okay, well, you're one in the field. So
CJ turned it over 4 times.
Yeah.
I guess Woody for one. Like, that's why it feels like to me it's almost like CJ got driven over by the bus the most in that answer.
For sure.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because if he turns it over 2 times, maybe you win the game still.
I expected Caserio to say there's things that we can all do better and we hope to do better and go further next year. Instead he's like, well, we turned it over 5 times and my roster can beat anybody. That was out of character for him to me. 713-780-ESPN. Am I talking out of turn here? Am I talking out of line? Was that just, you know, Caserio telling you like it is, or was he being a little sensitive about his roster? Also, he had a Joe Mixon update that we'll get to a little bit later. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD. To ownwell.com. Go there right now. Well, why do I need to go there, Branham? Because they're going to save you money. What are you waiting for? Property taxes keep going up. Home ownership, property management's a headache. We know that. We know that the protest process is terrible, right? We hate it. You don't like to do it. Maybe you don't do it because you're just scared of it. Expensive lawyers, property tax hearings sounds terrible. The hearings are a grind, long waits, confusing rules, inconsistent appraisers. Like I wouldn't want to do it. I don't do it, but that's why I have OwnWell in my life. Sign up in just 3 minutes and see how much OwnWell can save you. And here's the beauty of OwnWell, too. You don't pay them any money unless they save you money. So all of their incentive is to save you money because they're not getting paid unless they save you money. And you only pay them a fraction of what they're saving you. So why wouldn't you do this? Sign up in just 3 minutes and see how much they can save you from your property taxes this year. I used OwnWell.com last year. They saved me some money. I'm happy about it. And then I'm going to use them again this year, of course. They saved me money last year. Why wouldn't I use them again this year? But what I'm really excited about, that compound savings. They saved me a few hundred bucks last year. If they save me a few hundred bucks again this year, and then all of a sudden that stuff starts stacking up the more and more that you use them. So get OwnWell in your life. I beg you. I'm looking out for you. You'll be joining the 140,000 Houston properties that use OwnWell. You'll be joining over 500,000 Texans that use OwnWell. And then, oh yeah, by the way, OwnWell saves their customers on average over $1,100. What are you waiting for? Stop overpaying on property taxes. Get your free savings estimate right now at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com to see how much you can save. One more time, OwnWell.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
It's White Boy Wednesday, Jeremy and Joe. It's good for the Texans, it's good for us. Who's going to be our quarterback that turns it over four times?
Who's going to turn it over the most of the three of us?
Anybody at the station. Probably admin.
For sure.
This whole press conference sounded like a guy who always complains about getting heartburn and just keeps eating spicy food. That sounds like me. I'm like, man, why am I fat? Go to the drive-thru, eat some bad food. Casario's so full of himself, says a junkie. No Nico, no Tank, no Schultz, no Mixon.
Junkie?
Not Nick's fault.
Okay, I can give you two of those.
Okay, which two?
Nico and Schultz.
Yeah, he knew about Tank.
Well, and even Schultz, I would say. The last 2 years, you have given Brevin Jordan an extra year on his contract after he's gotten hurt for the entire season.
Yeah.
And Cade Stover still has played less than probably, 20 games as a tight end as a football player? Because he was a defensive end when he got to Ohio State?
No, he played more than 20 games in his career.
Maybe, is it like 30?
I mean, he's close to – he's played in 24 games in the NFL.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah.
I feel like – I thought he missed more time than that. So maybe it's like 40 games because it wasn't that much in college.
When did he convert to tight end?
It was like a season and a half, I think it was.
Okay.
Like he played like one full
season. So it's probably
close
to 50.
Yeah. So like you could have added more at tight end. I think we all recognized that throughout the season when Stover went down. Like you could have made another move. But I'll give him Schultz and I'll give him Nico because Nico got hurt. Joe Mixon is never playing football again.
Maybe.
And maybe they didn't realize that at the time.
We don't know that for sure.
It feels like it.
We don't know that he's not playing
football
again.
Okay, well, at least it felt like they knew he wasn't playing this season. And they signed Nick Chubb.
I don't know. We'll get to some of the Mixon stuff here a little bit. I don't know. It's weird.
And they knew they weren't going to have Tank this year.
Yeah.
So, and they drafted two receivers. So, they tried to add to the wide
kinda
receiver
room. Kinda.
Well,
they drafted two receivers. They only played one of them consistently, though.
But I don't think. Would you think that was their intent when they drafted Jalen Knoll?
I don't think you draft a guy with like, hey, this guy's going to be an instant starter, or he's going to be our fifth string. I don't think you're making that determination when you draft a guy.
Yeah, you brought in Christian Kirk. So like, you added to the wide receiver room.
Yeah,
you added four wide receivers if you include Berrios this offseason.
I wouldn't include Berrios.
Okay, they added three wide receivers this offseason.
Texans are going to break up with him like Alex Earl did.
Makes sense. I mean, he plays when he's active, but he doesn't play most of the season. It's very strange. But So, like, I'll give him two of the four. Yeah. Like, he knew he didn't have Tank, and he most likely knew he was going to miss Mixon for at least part of the season.
Competent offense, and I'm Super Bowl, period. I don't know what that means. Super Bowl, if O is even decent. The robot was 100% getting defensive. Nick very clearly does not like when people question that he may not be good enough, says Eric the Buyer. Yeah, I mean, because it kind of your offense wasn't good. Well, our offense, we would have been, you know, we were one of the best teams in the league. We could beat anybody. It really feels Stroud's production started to fall off when Tank got injured. To me, that seems when the wheels started falling off. I mean, I think it's a part of it. You'd rather have a Tank than not have a Tank. It's also first year of offense, O-line, blah, 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 blah. They did have some good news on Tank today. They said that they said they expected Tank for the OTAs.
Good. That's awesome. They need him.
Yeah.
Like I mean, if you go back to his rookie season even, it was, what, week three when they played the Colts? And that was kind of when Stroud started to really take off. And I remember having those conversations about, is it real? Because it was second half. It was a blowout. But then things just started getting better and better. And they started working Tank Dell into the offense pretty frequently. And I think you look at last year and that rookie year when Tank was then hurt at the end of the seasons, the offense was always worse. Like Tank has been very important to this offense. So it'd be great if they could have him back next year. Because when they first reported that injury, it felt like one where it's like, I don't know how guys recover from that. And who knows what he'll look like next year.
Yeah, I mean, what you said he's great for this offense. The problem is, and I look again, give me Tank versus not having Tank. We haven't seen him in this offense. We haven't seen You're him right. in the Nick Haley offense. He's we don't for, know yeah. what that's going to look like. It's not going to be the exact same than the Slowick offense. Like, Slowick, more explosion. This one, not as much. Like, does that impact Tank? I'm sure it would. In which way? I guess, you know, the time will tell us. And then also, like, he did have three major surgeries on the knee. So, like, will he be the same Tank Dell? I hope so. Kasarius said we have every resource for him to be. But that is a challenging knee injury that he is recovering from. Maybe Nick doesn't want to eventually pay CJ, so he's subtly sliding him. That'd be some 4D chess. Also sounds like Kasarius is defending his players and staff as well. Question can make it sound like the players aren't good enough.
Yeah, but they weren't.
He's saying that, you know, we can't win when we turn it over. And he said that the quarterback turned it over a lot and that the most important job – he's not in this clip that we played, but he said earlier in the press conference that the most important job for a quarterback to do is to take care of the football.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree with. I also agree with that. And again, I don't disagree with what Kasarius is saying. I'm just shocked that he said it. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, because it's really just what D'Amico's been saying all year about, you know, not turn the ball over, run the ball well, like let your defense be good, and you're going to win games. And they've done that. They did that the entire year until when it mattered most.
Brian looked like he had something on his mind. He didn't. Oh, okay. I'm good, said Kasarius on O-line in June.
He did say that.
Yeah. What do you guys think is CJ's biggest issue? Saw some tape from rookie year, and his pocket presence and footwork was better and smoother. Yeah, I think that's an impact. I think the offensive line and him taking a beating has kind of hurt his mechanics.
Yep.
I don't think he's great with pressure in his face. Maybe it's because of the classic conditioning of getting hit so much after his rookie year and his second year. The confidence is something that I point to. He's not playing with the confidence. Maybe that's because he's not comfortable in this scheme. I think it's all related. You know, it's a combination of a variety of a bunch of different things.
Yeah, it's one where it's is it a good thing or a bad thing? That's not just like one fatal flaw.
Probably a bad thing.
Yeah, because I guess if it was one thing, you could work on that.
It's easier to fix. Like if you know, you have a plumbing issue on your kitchen sink. Like if it's just the pipe that's right underneath there, okay, it's an easy fix. One pipe, do a little work, you're done. If it's seven different leaks and you find out as you go, all of a sudden you got a huge problem.
And it being a confidence thing, it feels like, when you watch him play, that's the hardest thing to probably overcome of all of them.
Uh-huh.
Honestly. Like, you can, whatever, like learning the offense more, year two of the playbook with Nick Haley, just having better weapons, offensive line, like all those things are good. But even if you improve the offensive line, if he's not confident in the scheme and confident in what's going to be happening in front of him, like that's almost impossible to fix.
Yeah. Not a great spot to be. Who keeps dropping a quarter? What's that noise? That's my wedding ring. I use it like a fidget spinner. We will take Stroud for Richardson, says Colt fan. Colt fan, you're ejected. You're out of here. You can come back tomorrow.
Out of here.
You're gone. Gun to your head, is CJ Stroud a starting quarterback you want for your team next year? Or do you do anything you can get to get Joe Burrow out of Cincinnati? Like, I don't think you're shopping Stroud. Like, you're not shopping him. If somebody comes to you and like, hey, it's Cincinnati. Hey, we're gonna trade Burrow. We like Stroud's potential. You want to attach two first rounders to Stroud for Burrow? Okay, you have my attention. But I'm not sitting there shopping CJ.
No, I mean, if I had my choice, I think I'd rather someone else.
Yeah.
But you don't really have that choice. Like, he's your guy.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll have a hypothetical for you later. Do you believe there's any chance that CJ isn't 100% since his concussion? No, I don't believe that. He had good games after his concussion. Mm-hmm. Now, is he, like, a little bit less eager to leave the pocket because of it? I think there's something to that. I'm willing to bet my life savings CJ will never get to a Super Bowl. The problem is those life savings aren't very much there, junkie. The average
junkie,
the average yearly salary of our junkies, and a large part of this is because of Twitch, is like $18,000. Now, that's because our Twitchers are jobless, so mm-hmm. it kind of brings down the average.
I was using the average. That guy in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
So they hurt the average.
They do.
Of the dozens and dozens of the junkies.
What do you think just the Twitch average of life savings is then?
Life savings or yearly earnings?
Well, either.
The average life savings of the Twitchers is probably like $4.
Okay.
Their yearly earnings are probably $10,000-$12,000 at best. And that's probably the allowance their mother gives them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know?
Because they're a fat guy.
Yeah. They give them like $250 a week.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
They sit there and like, oh, Branham, you're wearing gray today. Cool. Good.
Is that a comment you received today?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know what to say. Usually they give me, you know, great compliments. So
do they?
It depends on the guy.
Is that accurate?
Or the lady. Eh. I think the Twitchers like me more than most.
I think that's fair.
I think the Twitchers like me more than
most. They probably like you the most.
Yeah. Yep.
They like you the most.
Yeah.
Then me.
Yeah.
Then Brian.
There's a teardrop to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
And I think you and Granato are in like your own tier.
No, Granato and Lance are Hall of Famers. They're in their own tier. They're Hall of Famers.
They get after Lance quite a bit.
Yeah, not with the Twitch.
We'll never be in that company. Somebody just sent us two parrot. Doc T, I love you like a brother, Doc T. But you can't send us 8 sentences on the text line. It's not going to be read, Doc T. It just will not be read. 8 sentences, not reading it. All right, Doc? Try to shorten it into 8 words. We don't do a whole lot of reading around here. 713-780-ESPN. Do you want a Joe Mixon update?
Yeah, let's
Joe Mixon update next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
White Boy Wednesday, Jeremy and Joe. We play White Boy music because the Texans do this when they work out on Wednesdays. And if it's good for them, it's good for us. If it's good for Aziz, it's good for us. Junkie says my IRA is 7 figures, so there. Exclamation point, emoji with the sticking out money tongue. Flex.
Congratulations.
You're the one who brings up the average of the dozens and dozens. You might be the richest junkie of the dozens and dozens.
So far, yes.
Send us your IRA number, 713-780-3776. Tell us how much you have in your
send us screen caps of your bank account. We'll be the judge.
Yeah, if you want to put your account number and your routing number in there, too, it's fine.
Yep.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite pet was as a child.
Yeah.
Your favorite place to visit as a kid as
Mother's
well.
Maiden name.
Yeah,
your email and password.
Helpful. Yeah.
Social security number would be good, probably. That would help. See here, Doc T. Thank you, Doc T. Doc T. simplified it, and now it's readable. Appreciate you. CJ does not need to be written off. What he needs is stability. 3 years in the league and 3 different OCs. That is a lot for any quarterback, especially a young one trying to grow. Agree, Doc. I agree completely.
Yeah, it's 2 different OCs. Not to nitpick, but
well, he's saying if they moved on from Kaylee.
Oh, if they yeah.
See, Doc. I got you. You and I. We're simpatico. I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant, Doc.
There's that coin again.
Speaking of the coin, somebody says you got to get some real desk fidget spinners, J-Bone. And he sent us a picture of his fidget spinners. And, I mean, avert your eyes. Like, this is a bit inappropriate, some of these fidget spinners. These do not look appropriate, junkie. I don't know what you're doing with these things, but they do not look appropriate.
One's from a movie.
Which I don't know.
Yeah, what movie?
It's from Inception. It's the spinner.
Oh, that's from the spinner at the end?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. It is a good movie. It's a long movie.
I had a headache after I was done watching it, but it was good.
Yeah, it's good.
I was like, what did I just watch?
I think it stopped.
The fidget spinner or the movie?
At the end, yeah, I think it stopped too.
Twitchers to Jeremy says, Jasper, you got a pretty mouth, as they rub their exposed beer belly with a chicken grease hand. Probably. Round numbers are not only great in baseball.
What was that a reference to?
That went right over my head. All right, here's the Joe Mixon update. Moving right on. Nick Caserio, opening statement. Yeah, we did great in 25. We feel like we had a successful year. Proud of the guys. It's fine. I'm not going to make fun of that. I agree with him. I think it was a fine year, especially after the start. He's like, I know you guys are going to ask about injuries. So here's the latest on Joe Mixon.
It was a very unique situation. I don't think anybody really had any clarity, honestly, from the start of the year until now. I'd say Joe worked very, very hard to try to get himself ready to play football. It just never manifested itself and came to fruition. So probably have an opportunity to kind of see where he is in the offseason relative to next year. But, again, it was as unique a situation and injury as I've been associated with. And it's just, I don't want to call it a freak thing, but it's just kind of a freak thing. And Joe worked really hard, you know, put his best foot forward. It didn't work out.
There you go. The latest on Joe Mixon. I don't want to call it a freak injury, but it was a freak injury. Here's one more, Joe Mixon, and then we'll form our opinions. He was asked, Aaron Wilson, I thought, asked him a great question. He's like, you know, is there a reason you guys aren't telling us what happened to Joe Mixon?
He didn't do anything off the field. It wasn't like he was riding like a snowmobile or anything like that. I'd say it was just more of a medical condition or situation that just it really didn't improve maybe as much as everybody would have hoped. I mean, I'm not trying to like evade the question. I think that's the reality of the situation. So like he didn't jump off a building, like he wasn't cliff diving or anything like that. He wasn't doing anything irresponsible. It was a freak thing. Honestly, I'd never seen it. You know, it's just the condition.
There you go. What's wrong with Joe Mixon?
I hate to use the words. I've never seen it before.
Brian, let Joe go first.
I have so many questions. Now you can go.
Like, there's so many times, and not only that clip, but all the clips we played about Joe Mixon, where he makes sure to say, oh, well, it wasn't him being irresponsible. But he also says, he refers to it as a medical condition at one point, which makes you question, like, oh, is this not like a bone or a soft tissue injury? But then he also multiple times references, this is just, you know, one-of-a-kind thing. I've never seen it before in all my life. Like, how bad is this injury? And it just leads to so much more speculation than it would if they would just tell us what happened.
Yeah, whatever it is, I think it's very clear Joe Mixon does not want people to know.
Yeah.
Like, because the medical condition part, I feel like that's new. I don't feel like we've heard that this year.
I don't remember it earlier in the year, yeah.
So, like, that's it, because it kind of opens Pandora's box of what it could be, I guess. So, like, it's almost impossible to know now, but, like, I don't know.
We'll save the theories from the junkies for our next segment because they're pretty funny.
Junkie?
So here's where I'm at with this. Junkie said best foot forward. He did say that he put his best foot forward.
Yeah, he did
hilarious.
Say that. I wonder. I'm sure he wanted that one back as soon as he was done.
Does he own snowmobiles in Cincinnati? Was there a past of him running on snowmobiles?
I don't know.
Why did he bring up snowmobiles?
You know, sometimes people accidentally tell you the truth when they're telling you what didn't happen. When he mentioned snowmobile first, I kind of thought, oh, it might have been a snowmobile.
No, Nick saying what he said today does make me think that it wasn't something nefarious.
Yeah,
I don't think that he
because
shot himself
in the
foot.
Because there'd be too much egg in his face if it was.
Yeah, I think he did reveal some stuff. I think we moved one step closer. I am willing to rule out anything, you know, activity wise where, you know, he shot himself in the foot. We had some junkies say that he got hurt in a motorcycle accident, snowmobiles. Like he said he didn't do it like on anything like that. I do believe Caserio there. I don't think it was something nefarious. My theory, and again, I tweeted out earlier, I'm not going to say my theories because of HIPAA. Dusty Baker would be very unhappy with us right now talking about potentially what's wrong with Joe Mixon's
foot. Right.
And we'll get your theories here in a little bit, wrong or right, answers only, 713-780-3776. So what do we know about Mixon's foot? Like, we know that he was hurting him, right?
It was.
Like, was it on record that he had off-season surgery on the foot? I can't remember if it was on record or off
no,
record.
No, I think it was just reported.
Okay, and like... Look, they don't have to report this stuff. This was an argument we've had in the past. I was wrong about it. Like, I thought that, like, hey, we would find out if there's surgeries. And people are like, no, they have surgeries all the time that we never know about. Okay, I concede that. So I think it's likely, I don't know for sure. I think it's likely that Joe Mixon had off-season surgery to repair whatever was ailing him with his foot. My theory now is that there was some sort of infection. That's my total guess, is that he had some sort of infection with the surgery. That's why it was always kind of like, you know, when's he going to come back? Like, we think normally that this infection is going to, you know, heal itself by this date, by this date. I'm thinking that something was infected based on perhaps, and this is a total guess, that something was infected, terrible, awful, never quite got right. By the time it took to fix it, there wasn't enough time left in the season to rehab it or make it feel comfortable. That is my total uneducated Dr. Branham guess.
Well, I'm kind of in the same
infectious foot.
I'm kind of in the same ballpark as you.
Hashtag infectious foot.
Like whenever an Astros player has Tommy John, they always say the surgery was successful. So I'm just assuming that kind of in the same ballpark as you is that there was a surgery.
Yeah.
Whatever happened.
That's my guess.
It was deemed not successful. But, whether that's an infection or something went wrong in the procedure.
They were fixing a tendon and it broke back in half.
Like, I don't know. Like, it just makes me feel like something went wrong that is kind of out of their control. And maybe there's legal reasons why they can't talk about it.
Because it was a team doctor that did it?
I don't know. Like,
When did Nick Chubb sign? That was in June, right?
Something
I think it was
like that.
Because that's kind of our timeline, I think, as to when the Texans knew Joe Mixon wouldn't be ready, as to whenever they signed Nick Chubb. And I like your theory in general, Jeremy, but it feels hard to believe. Let's just say for the conversation, it was June.
Yeah, it was June 8th when they signed
June 8th. Like, okay. I find a hard time to believe between June 8th and, I don't know, when would it be the cutoff point to where he could no longer return for the season? Sometime in November?
A month ago, maybe. 2 months ago?
Yeah, so like, I mean, that's a long time to not get an infection under control. From early June till mid-November. I'm not saying
some bad infections out there.
I'm sure.
Some terrible infections.
Especially because we have seen photos of Joe Mixon standing at a local establishment. And I think he's also been at least one game.
Yeah, there's like him in a suite. At a game.
No, we didn't see him walk to either of these things.
The last time that I saw him like walk was that little camp he had where CJ Stroud went to the camp. And, like, remember there was the picture of him going around in the offseason with the boot? And then there was a picture of him at the camp where he didn't have the boot, but he was kind of like, you know, gingerly walking on his foot. Yeah, it's weird, man. It's a weird thing. And I'm not sure that the Nick Chubb signing was an indication that they felt Joe Mixon was going to be out for the year. Certainly his status for the start of the year, but I don't think the Nick Chubb signing was like, we think Joe Mixon's going to miss the season. I don't think they were making that proclamation on June 8th. I think that the proclamation they were making on June 8th when they signed Nick Chubb is that Mixon could miss part of the year, is my thinking on this. Because I don't think the signing of Nick Chubb precludes a return for Joe Mixon if he got back, you know, if he was able to play.
Yeah, the other thing I think Brian mentioned this last week, but maybe it was you, like, they also could have gotten some relief from the NFL on this as well.
Yeah, because he was on the NFI.
And it seems they did not do that.
Also, what was weird the other day is when DJ was in with us, he's like, well, it's not a new injury.
So it's like whatever happened in the offseason just is still a problem.
I think that there's probably complications with the surgery of some kind. Maybe they had to do the surgery again. Maybe there's an infection involved. Maybe they had to amputate the foot. Like, I don't know, man. This is weird.
And it doesn't feel like we're going to have a clear answer now.
He said he never saw it. Like, it could be clotting in the foot. I don't know. Like, it could be, like, that would be an issue that we would miss the year for if you had blood clots in the foot.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what Deion had? Deion was getting blood clots in his feet?
His is from diabetes. That's why he lost his toes.
He had diabetes?
Right now, I think.
That's crazy.
Yeah, currently.
Like, the complications of the surgery could have been, like, they could have had clots in his foot somehow. Yeah. I don't know. But for him to miss that much time, it had to be something pretty severe. And where D'Amico's like, I don't know if he's coming back. Nick Casario's like, we haven't seen him. We're going to have to see him and then see where we're at.
Yeah, like, and Aaron Wilson reported that his career could be in doubt.
Like, it could be something like that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Junkies have some theories. Some of them are inappropriate, but those oftentimes are our favorite. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.